The worldling who has an empty false profession of faith in the gospel of Christ, when in trouble, will want to give it up. He will say, I thought I would be delivered from these things. I signed up for a better life on earth, but it's too costly. And failures and reverses, they only harden the heart. But not so to the true child of God. Tribulation will work a new prayer life in you. If it drives you to your knees, it's good. If it makes you to call on the Lord more earnestly, it's good. It's working good in your heart and in your own life. This morning, and we're working our way down these verses. We have covered verses 1 and 2. So let's read the first 11 verses again of God's Word, Romans 5, and commencing at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us, for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. May God be pleased to bless his word to your heart today, and encourage you this morning. Thank you for coming, being a part of our morning service. Great to see some who have been gone for a bit. You're back here, and we're rejoiced today. May trust the Lord will bless you greatly. Our webcast viewers, of course, we invite, welcome you as well, our folks in Victoria. And it was nice to join you last Sunday evening. And then, of course, our congregation in Prince George, who are waiting for their new minister to arrive, Mr. Andrew Simpson. And he will be coming in the very middle of December. And so there's been some words that he needs to have the snow tires on, ready for the drive up to Prince George as he heads up there. So we're thankful for that great mercy. The Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always my joy to bring the message of the gospel to you. And today again, we're turning to the book of Romans, that book of Christian logic, the book of doctrinal emphasis upon the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And when you get that doctrine right, it leads to blessed assurance of your own salvation. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
When the Reverend Thomasian was with us last week, he talked about the Scottish Reformation,
and the various revivals, the league and covenant that the people signed with their own blood, and how God raised up a great testimony in Scotland. But then persecution came when they sought to undo the work of God in the lives of his people. There's a very famous martyrdom of two young women, Margaret Wilson and Margaret McLachlan, in the Solway Firth in the south of Scotland. And there's a marker on the site to this day where they were tied to posts in the waterway when the tide was out. And they were called upon to renounce, first of all, the League and Covenant. And they were asked to pray for the King of England that was. That would have been Charles II. And they said, yes, we'll pray for the king, and they did. But they would not renounce the league and the covenant, which really was a gospel covenant, which the people of Scotland had made for Christ. And so they were left to drown as the tide came in. In fact, there are some reports that they were pushed under the water to hasten their deaths. But while they were waiting for the waters to come, they sang. They sang psalms of praise. There was a grace given to them that they normally may not have had. And they bore testimony for Christ to the end. This is tribulation worketh. Now, none of us here are praying for persecution. None of us here want physical persecution. But we all suffer as Christians. We all endure the offscouring of the world. We all face the hostility of evil men. And sometimes it's the proud, prosperous, rich, ungodly, godless person that just despises. You know, it's a hard thing to be despised. Boys and girls, when you go to school and they look down at you because you're a Christian, that's hard. It's hard on the flesh, especially when you're young and you're subject to peer pressure and you want to be part and accepted. Those are all normal things for us all. But the Lord uses that tribulation, that trial, to work patience, joyful endurance. And you bear it as a Christian with the badge of confirmation. This gospel's real. And what the Lord predicted is my portion. This is real. The second one here is tribulation worketh experience in believers. Now, the word experience here could be proof. It's a bit like an experiment. Now, don't get me wrong and pick me up on saying that our Christianity is an experiment and we're just trying it out to see if it works or not. That's not what this is teaching. It works experience, it works proof. And when you endure this time after time and you go through the same and it works out to become a proof, then it confirms that this is real. And so when a Christian suffers trials and tribulations, they act as a kind of an experiment to test, to see if we will pass the test. There's a purpose. God is allowing this, but it's not in vain. And you're going to discover the power of the gospel in your own life. Now, what will the person do in a period of trouble? To the hypocrite, to the false, they will fly in the face of God and say, God is against me. But this tribulation will work in the true Christian as a badge of confirmation. You remember Job's wife who said, curse God and die. You got two different responses out of Job and his wife. Because of all the troubles that they faced, Job's wife lost it. But Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a test. That was now an opportunity for Job to display his faith and his confidence in the Lord. The Lord Jesus said that when the seed is sown, some falls upon the stony ground. And when the seed falls on the stony ground, it grows up a little, but when the sun shines on that, there's no root to it, and it withers. And the Lord interpreted that seed following on the stony ground as those that are offended by him or in him. And it is that offense of the world that causes people to go back. But to those who are seed fallen on the good ground, it of course brings forth a harvest, some 30, 60, or 100. That's the difference. And the lesson is that God will test his children. He will prove if we are really born of the Spirit or if we are of the flesh. And this is a test to demonstrate our new nature. So what is the experience of the believer who passes the test? You may go through sorrow, bereavement, reverses, reproach for the gospel, but it doesn't tear you away from the Lord. It rather draws you to him. Now, our tribulations prove to us just how much we need the Lord and how much we are dependent upon him. Like Peter, as he tried to walk on the water alone, when he took his eyes off the Lord, he sank. And he cried out, Lord, save me, I perish. And that is the cry of the child of God. That's the child of God crying out for help. The worldling who has an empty false profession of faith in the gospel of Christ, when in trouble, will want to give it up. He will say, I thought I would be delivered from these things. I signed up for a better life on earth, but it's too costly. And failures and reverses, they only harden the heart. But not so to the true child of God. Tribulation will work a new prayer life in you. If it drives you to your knees, it's good. If it makes you to call on the Lord more earnestly, it's good. It's working good in your heart and in your own life. It's true that David, he prayed a whole lot better when he was living in caves than when he was living in a palace in Jerusalem. His spiritual life of dependence on God was stronger when he was a hunted man than when he was the king. And sometimes you may be wondering, why does the Lord allow me to be going through these things? Well, they work for your good and for grace in your own souls. And of course, they try our faith. That was the whole thing we learned there in Peter, that this trial tests, it's like iron put into the fire and all the dross is burned out of it and we come forth as gold. Your testimony depends on you proving the Lord and going through troubles and trials at times for him. Sonship, of course, is also proven by the fact that we come under the rod of correction. We never chastise somebody else's children. We let parents do that. And if the Lord loves us, he chastises us. He corrects us. And we take heart that we are, therefore, the children of God. And then lastly, tribulation worketh hope. That's the marvel of all this. It worketh hope. And this is the same hope as verse 2, rejoices in the hope of the glory of God. And it brings us full circle to the same conclusion. By justification, we have peace. By justification, we have this standing in grace. By justification, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what hardship we face, that hope doesn't diminish, but it is confirmed all the more to our own hearts. And the assurance of salvation, it grows, it flourishes, because it comes now to work hope within our hearts. Now, this is not natural. Anyone in hardship gets down, depressed, feeling defeated, as if this is not working out. But in the Christian, this gospel, because of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, this is not because of sin. Christ took my sin at the cross. This is not because I am imperfect. God knows I'm imperfect. God knows that I'm a clay vessel. God knows that I'm weak. This is not because I don't work hard enough. But God is using this to work His will and His grace within my own life. And the world, with all its venomous hatred, cannot put us down. There was in the south of England a preacher called Billy Bray, and it was said of him that he would never stop shouting hallelujah. And he said that even if they locked him in a barrel, he would still shout hallelujah through the bunghole of the barrel. He would never lose his song. And this is the marvel of God's grace. And He makes us overcomers by His grace. So I wonder today, as pastor of this congregation, can I say that every one of us here has been through the experiment, and it worketh patience in each one of us, joyful endurance. We're not saying we're perfect. We're not saying that we have arrived. We're not saying that we are the Christians that we ought to be. But we can say that even in the trial, in the furnace, we experienced God's grace. He was with us. His promises were fulfilled. And His Spirit was mighty and strong. We have come forth as gold tried in the fire. The same David I referred to as the king, he said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You see how that affliction worked in his life? And he said again, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. What a statement. Those are mighty words. I know that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. David's knowledge and view of God was exalted by that affliction and that trial and trouble that he went through. And he knew it not just book, chapter, and verse. He knew it by his own conviction. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans 5, by experience. You know it in your own life, in your own experiment. I have to use that word very carefully. You learn that in situations specific to you, and God helped you and God strengthened you, and you were enabled to profess and continue all the more to hold a good profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. And of course, this is God's love, God's amazing love. Someone likened God in this aspect to a doctor when he examines your arm and he finds that it was broken and healed wrongly. And what happens is he's got to break it again and reset it. Now, that wouldn't be good news to hear. You'd be better to discover your arm was broken and needs set at first than to get the news, well, it has healed, but it's not right. We're going to have to break it and reset it. And you submit to that because the outcome, you want your arm to be at least near right. You want it to heal properly and be useful again. And so the doctor will break that bone with a good purpose in mind. Not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to make you useful again. That you will heal properly. And God may do that with us. And he permits, he worketh tribulation to work patience, endurance, and hope, and glory, and all these things. In looking at this, I came across the testimony of a young man called Nick Vujicic. Please forgive me, I've really botched that name, I know. I don't even know what nationality that is. But Nick was born into this world without arms and without legs. He had no limbs. And as told by his own life story and his own website, and it's called lifewithoutlimbs.org, both his mom and his dad was an Australian pastor, as you can understand, were absolutely devastated when that child was born. No arms, no legs. And they questioned, if God is love, then why would he let something like this happen? And especially to committed Christians serving the Lord. And the question's obvious. But they chose to trust God in spite of their questions. Now, Nick, as a boy growing, he went to school and he was taunted and bullied. He was rejected. And at that stage in my childhood, he said, I could understand God's love to a point. But I still got hung up on the fact that if God really loved me, why would he leave me this way? Let me find this here again. And I wondered if I'd done something wrong and began to feel certain that this must be true, that he had done something wrong. Thoughts of suicide plagued him until one day, as a 15-year-old, he read through John chapter 9, the story of the man born blind. And the question comes up in that chapter, who did sin? The man born blind or his parents? And of course, the Lord answered that question. And the answer was neither. But that God may show his works and his power. And so they were asking the wrong question. The right question is, what's the purpose? What is God going to make of this? And Nick later The story I read, he was age 26 at the time. I'm not sure what time that was written, so maybe he's somewhat older now. But at 26 years of age, was living a victorious Christian life, and he was invited as a motivational speaker to tell the story of God's grace in his own life. And he learned to glorify God in the condition he was in. No arms, no legs, and all the limitations that that would bring. But he glorifies God in the midst of it. And God allowed that. We have to admit, God allowed it. God's in control. God makes the bones in the womb. God brought him into this world in that condition. God did it. And now God is glorified through a life that is lived for Christ. I hope this will speak to us today, and that we will, by God's grace, take this gospel of Christ dying for us, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And in this world, there is tribulation and trial and trouble for us, but in them, not avoiding them, not being delivered from them, but in the midst of them, in the furnace, as it were, proving that the Lord is with us, sustaining us, as the Lord sustained the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And in your life, there will be fiery trials. And Peter says, God allows it, he's working, that you may come forth as gold. And that gold is that part of the life that glorifies God. May it be so. And may the Lord work this in every one of us. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.